Ephesians chapter 6, please. Follow in your Bibles as I read, commencing at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there any respect of persons with him. God will bless to us what we have read from his word tonight. If you've been with us the past few Sunday nights, we have been considering pertinent things regarding the Christian family. Now, sometimes we hear even Christians rebelling against some of the material that is put in Ephesians chapter 5 and in Ephesians chapter 6. If this is the case with you, I feel very sad. The reason I do this is because if there is rebellion in your heart, rebellion against what God has to say in His Word indicates your spiritual temperature. And sometimes, if we rebel at what God says, it's obvious your spiritual temperature is not very high. I hope that tonight, as we consider these words together, that we will take the advice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6, where it says this, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time." Now, in our previous nights, we have talked about wives, and we've talked about husbands. And we have found that this is very important. It's practical, it's paramount, and it's very important how husbands and wives should conduct themselves together in the home. Now, the whole foundation for happy family relationships is found in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21. Turn back to it and look at it while I read it. This is the foundation. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Let's read it together. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Once more. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this includes every member of the family, husband and wife, as well as the children. Now, I'm afraid that in many homes, even Christian homes, we are not aware of this basic premise, but it's here. Now, there is another question that is often raised when we get into this area of the Word of God and is in its instructions, as just how we should operate. If you're a saved husband and you have an unsaved wife, saved husband, you better pay attention to this and operate accordingly. If you're a saved wife and have an unsaved husband, saved wife, this is for you. And you better operate and conduct yourself accordingly. The only exception for husband or wife or children for that matter is if we would be violating one of the principles laid down in the Word of God. Our allegiance is first to God and then to those of our family. But I hasten to put something in here quickly. If you're here tonight, boy, girl, husband or wife, and you have been born again, and it is your desire, your intense desire to be obedient to the Word of God, it is highly doubtful that you will ever be put in a place where you'll be asked to act in defiance of the Word of God. And I have Bible for that. Let me give it to you. There hath no testing taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted or tested above that ye are able, but will with the testing make the way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Now, in the modern society in which we live, there's a great deal of antagonism. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of rebellion. Husbands and wives divorcing themselves or each other at the drop of a hat. And then there's children. And the spirit of the age is this. Why, you're an adult now. You can do your own thing. You're 18 or over. And you can do just about what you want to do. You don't have to pay attention to your parents anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to refute that with Bible tonight. There's labor unrest in the world in which we live. There are strikes, there are bombings, there are work stoppages. If you think it's bad in the United States, you want to go to Canada sometime. That is something else. Do you know that I talked with a man in Canada some time ago, and he said that they have a company that does the very same thing in Canada and one in the United States. And in Canada, they're 85% as efficient as the one in the United States, and they think our production's going down. Because of the spirit of the age and work stoppages and strikes and so on. Now, we've tried all kinds of things. We've tried education. We've even tried legislation. But ladies and gentlemen, the one solution to it all is regeneration. You see, when God comes into a life, He gives a person a new heart. That person becomes a child of God. They have new aspirations. They are now submissive to Christ, and that should spill over into their domestic relationships with every member of the family. But sad to say, it doesn't always do it. And that's one of the reasons why we have this portion in the Word of God. Now, tonight's message, we won't get through all that we read tonight. I read the section, but we'll go just about as far as we can. And the first is children. Let's look at chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now, I'm of the opinion, parents, and I'm speaking to parents for just a moment, that Paul did not tell the parents on this occasion to admonish the children, although the parents should do, but I rather think that what Paul was saying was said to the children that were in his audience. Now, probably when this epistle was read, there were children in the audience, and this was Paul's word from God to the girls and boys. Now, in all probability, the girls and boys didn't understand it all. They probably needed further explanation when they got home. But believe me, the children should know, that there are instructions given to them in the Word of God just as much as there are to parents, husbands, and wives. And I want to say something else to parents tonight. Even though your children don't always understand everything that goes on in a so-called adult service, they'll get something. In fact, they'll get more than you think they get. And I believe that the atmosphere of an adult service will be extremely beneficial in many areas, especially as it comes to a child's personal discipline. Now, I have Bible for that. Turn back with me, please, to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to break in at verse 26, page 85 in my Bible. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'm going to give just a little bit of an exposition on them. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 26. And it shall come to pass, this is Moses speaking to the people of Israel, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service, that ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Now, there is some important information there. When the Passover actually happened, or when the people of Israel were released from Egypt, the children, all the family, participated in eating the Passover lamb. The whole family was involved. Now listen. But after that, in any celebration of the Passover feast, we never have, that I know of in the Word of God, an indication that children participated. But they were there. You say, how do you know? Right here. When your children ask you, what mean ye by this service? Now, if they weren't in the service, how could they ask a question? Parents, these children need to be exposed to these things. This is incumbent upon us. This is Bible. And then the parents had the privilege of explaining to their children that they were redeemed from Egyptian bondage, taken out of the bondage of Egypt, and brought into the promised land that God said He would bring them into. Parents, this is incumbent upon us in the same way that it was incumbent upon the people of Israel in Moses' day. Now let's come back to our chapter. Paul gives children four reasons why they should obey their parents. And I'm going to give you a little test tonight. We're going through, and I'm going to ask you to call them out pretty soon, because there are four reasons given here. Probably there are more, but at least four reasons why children should obey their parents. So let's look back again at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, in the Lord would indicate that those children are Christians. When a child is saved, he is found in Christ. So the first reason why children should obey their parents is because they are Christians if they've been saved. You see, when a person is saved, a boy or a girl, he or she is not exempt from any of the obligations of life, but rather they're glued to them closer. You see, because a child is saved, they should be a better child in every sense of the word, certainly better than before they trusted Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20, we have the parallel portion of this. Let me give you a verse to that. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. You see, when a child obeys his parents, he's pleasing the Lord. He's doing more than please his parents. Now, there's a lovely progression in this chapter, in this section rather, that we have met so far. Remember back in verse 21, turn back to chapter 5 and verse 21. Remember it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then how does a wife do it? Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. How does a husband do the submission? Verse 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And then, how do children submit? All right, chapter 6 and verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. So the first reason why children should obey their parents is because if they've been saved, they are Christians. But there's more. Look at chapter 6 and verse 1 again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The second reason why children should obey their parents is because it's a right thing to do. Now today, this verse is often reversed, and we get the revised version. Parents, obey your children, for this will keep them happy and bring peace in your home. Ever hear that before? I have the occasion to do quite a bit of traveling. I stay in homes. I've seen the revised version, like I've just quoted to you, in many instances, I'll tell you this. Now, who's right? Society or God? Now, just think of that a minute. Who's right? believe that we are becoming so controlled by the mass media that from things that are printed and broadcasted, if these things become standards even in Christian homes, and the result is a detrimental effect in our Christian home. So, children should obey their parents. Why, class? Number one, why? They are what? Number two, why? It's right. All right. Now let's go to chapter 6 and verse 2. We'll get the third one. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. The third reason why children should obey their parents is because obedience is commanded. Now, I think we should recognize that Paul cites the basis of this. And do you know what he does? He takes the fifth commandment from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Let me quote it to you. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That's Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Here, ladies and gentlemen, is an Old Testament command applied of all things to the New Testament. Now, I think this needs a little bit of explanation. Someone might immediately ask, does this mean, obeying this particular commandment, that the present-day Christian is under the law? That the Christian should put himself or herself under the law? Well, let me give you a couple answers to that. Paul says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Well, that doesn't sound like you should be under the law, does it? Let me give you another one. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. The yoke of bondage, of course, being the law. Now, the statement in this verse, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, does not mean that the believer is under the law at all. But the righteousness of the law is still a revelation to the believer. And when a person, a boy or a girl or a man or a woman is saved, they now have the indwelling Holy Spirit living within them, and it enables them to practice righteousness or rightness. Therefore, it is just as wrong for a New Testament Christian to dishonor his father and mother as it was for an Old Testament Jew. All right, then, what does it really mean, children, obey your parents? And may I add, boys and girls, regardless, and young people too, regardless of how old you get, your parents are still your parents. Now there's something else. To obey your parents, to honor your parents, rather, is far more than just being obedient to them. It means that we should show respect. It means that we should endeavor to honor them by the way, as children, we conduct ourselves. I still have to honor my father and mother. I'm 52 years old. My father is 83. My mother is 82. I still have to honor them. All right? Children should obey their parents. Why? Class number one, they are Christians. Number two, obedience is right. Say it with me, the third one. Obedience is commanded. Now let's look at chapter 6 and verse 2 once again. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Now the reason that children should obey their parents is that obedience brings blessing. That's number 4. Obedience brings blessing. Now, just a moment ago, I referred to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, which talks about the fifth commandment. And that commandment, of course, had application to the Jews, and it said that it had to do with the promised land. But Paul takes that promise in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12, and he brings it here, and he gives you a revision. Did you notice it? You see, that command, if it hadn't been altered, wouldn't do us, might make many of us very happy, would it? I certainly wouldn't want to live in the land of Canaan, would you? I wouldn't want that at all. With the explosive situation that is there, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with that. But you see, Paul substitutes in this verse the word earth for the word land and tells us that Christian children who honor their parents can expect at least two blessings. It will be well with him or her, and secondly, they'll live longer. Now, I have to insert something right here because I don't want to be misunderstood. This does not mean that every child who died young dishonored his or her parents. But having said that, this is a principle of the Word of God. You see, when boys and girls obey their parents in the Lord, they escape a good deal of the dangers that sin and disobedience brings upon them. Therefore, they'll live longer. You see, God enriches our lives when we're obedient. Sin robs us. Obedience enriches us. But here's the crux of the whole thing. When children, I don't care what age they are, when children do not obey their parents, they're actually disobeying God. It's here. In fact, when children disobey their parents, it's rebellion against God. I'll take that a step farther. When children disobey their parents, they are taking, and especially when they get old enough to understand, they're taking the Word of God and throwing it back in the face of God and say, God, you don't know what you're doing. And you say to me, well, what if my parents are wrong? You still have to obey them. There is no latitude here at all. If your parents are wrong, God will make it up to you if you've been right and they're wrong. But you still have to obey. And it gets to be pretty serious when we disobey our parents because we're telling God you don't know what you're doing. Now, I realize parents are finite. They are subject to wrong thinking. But that does not absolve a boy or a girl one bit. Now, I hate to be so emphatic, ladies and gentlemen, but this is Bible. And we must obey it. And that's why there comes sad situations even in Christian homes. You see, what we're doing is we're rejecting the Lord. God says it. I've got to obey it. This is what the Word of God says. All right, let's go on. Chapter 6 and verse 4. Subject goes right on. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, I want to say what this verse does not say first. Many children, after they've been admonished by dad or by mom, will look up at them and say, fathers, provoke, especially when dad does it, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Well, yeah, I've heard it said. You've been in homes where it's been said too. But I have a biblical answer for that. It's found in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 15. This is what it says. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. If a child is not corrected, parents, the child will become a rebel. And child training is absolutely necessary. And the Bible records the sad results of Christian parents who did not admonish their children. I'll give you a couple of examples. A man by the name of Eli. had two sons. And they disgraced not only his name, but they caused defeat in Israel. And I want you to know that they were married sons. Then there's Isaac. He pampered Esau. And his wife pampered Jacob. And they had division in their home, showing favorites. But here's the worst one. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 1, will you please? Page 388. 1 Kings chapter 1. 1 Kings chapter 1. And this is what is said about David, a man after God's own heart. These are some of the saddest words in the Bible. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 6. This is said about David's son Adonijah. And his father David had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And you know what Adonijah did? He set up an insurrection in the camp of Judah to overthrow the kingdom of his own father. Do you know what this verse tells me? God puts the blame on David. Right there. I think those are dreadful words. And his father had not displeased him at any time, saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And whose fault was the trouble? It wasn't Adonijah's. It was his father's. David. Now come back to our text. I got to hurry. But our text says plainly that fathers are not to provoke their children. Now, even though a father is the head of the family, he is to bear that authority in love. I learned just recently of a terrible Roman custom that was in vogue in the day when this was written. I could hardly believe it, but it's authenticated. When a baby was born into a Roman home, after the baby or the woman gave birth, the baby was laid before the father. If he picked up the baby, it was an indication that he accepted the baby in his family. If he ignored the baby was either sold, given away, or left out to exposure. Now, I'm sure that a Christian father's love would certainly come between or rather overcome that terrible custom. But it was legal. It was. But notice the advice to Christian fathers. Do not use your authority to abuse your child, but instead encourage him. I quoted Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now I'm going to quote Colossians chapter 3 and verse 21. For fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So, rightfully we can say then the opposite of discouragement is encouragement. And fathers, we are not to provoke our children and discourage them by saying one thing and doing another. Believe me, as Christian fathers, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, in order to be sensitive to the needs and the problems of our children. But this verse adds something else. Do you notice it says the fathers are to nurture their children? Fathers. In other words, fathers are to bring them up. Isn't that something? Now, it's obvious that a Christian husband is to nourish his wife. We learned that last week. But a Christian father is to nurture his children by sharing love and encouragement in the Lord. Remember, Dad, this is more than giving them food, clothing, and shelter. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere, is the training of children assigned to outside agencies, I don't care how good they are. The training of children is the responsibility of parents. Boy, we fathers got a big place here. And I want to say something publicly tonight. And I've apologized to my children. You know the kind of work I'm in. And I was gone too much when they were younger. And it wasn't right. Serving the Lord, but I was gone too much. It is wrong. And they were lost out because of it. And I'm sorry for it. Sometimes you can work so hard for somebody else's kids and you neglect your own. That's wrong. Wrong, parents. It's wrong. Don't you do it. Profit from a little guy that's talking to you tonight from his heart. Don't neglect your children. They're what God's given you. And dads, they need a dad. And I was gone almost every night. It's wrong. Wrong. But this word nurture carries with it the idea of discipline. And that word discipline in Hebrews chapter 12 is called chastening. Now I'm aware that many modern psychologists today oppose the old fashioned idea of discipline, and of course many of our educators do too. They say, let the children express themselves, and if you don't allow them to express themselves, you'll warp their personality. Well, you won't. You see, they fail to understand that discipline is a principle of life and an evidence of love. I got Bible for that. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And you know what that word scourge means? It means to flog. When you use the rod, well, let me give you the verse. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him early. That's Proverbs 13:24. One thing that all parents should strive for and endeavor to is to discipline your children in love, not in anger, and that's hard. Boy, I don't think that I'm trying to say that I've always done it that way. I haven't. But that's the idea, that's the Word of God. Furthermore, we should endeavor in our discipline to be fair. Now, your children won't think you're fair. They'll say you showed favoritism to the other one. They will, but you don't. It's the best of your ability. Don't do it. I wrote something down here that a girl said, a 16-year-old girl. Let me quote her. I never knew how far I could go because my parents never said a word and apparently never cared enough to discipline me. So I figured if it wasn't important to them, why should it be important to me? Unquote. Oh, fathers, it's incumbent upon us that we not provoke our children, that we nurture them, that we discipline them. But there's one other thing. That word admonition, and I want to just go on that a little longer, carries with it the idea of encouragement. Parents, fathers in particular, let's be sure that our instruction is based on, or should I say tied in, or should I say glued to the Word of God. Let me give you a very good example. Will you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3? We're going to break into verse 13. That's page 1304 in my Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Now, I want to give you just about two words of background on this. This is about young Timothy. Apparently, his mother and his grandmother were saved, but his father was not. His father was a Greek. So the mother did all she could. And notice what it says. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Timothy 3 and 13. But evil men and seducers shall become worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That's a good description of today, isn't it? All right, next verse. Now this is the advice to young Timothy. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Let me just stop there. Who did he get it from? He got it from his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. 1 Timothy tells us that. The faith that was in them. And they passed it on to young Timothy. Now notice that verse again. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. He learned the way of salvation, but Timothy had to exercise his own faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Now notice the next verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, instruction in rightness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I got 1 minute. As I close tonight, parents, the home is where our children should learn most about the Lord and about the Christian life. Christian parent, if your child is fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough, as the case may be, I don't know, to attend a Christian school, this in no way absolves you of your obligation. If you do, you're passing the buck. If they get a little extra Christian education, just hammer home. Next thing. It's wonderful when parents bring their children to Sunday school. We love to see them come, every one of them. But parents, they need to know more about the things of God than in the 20 or 25 minutes in the Sunday school class. They need to be properly nurtured. And the responsibility is ours. One more word. In this day and age in which we live, it's very difficult to bring up children. Peer pressure upon them, it must be terrible. My heart goes out to young kids. It really does. It must be difficult. And parents, we need everything we can have going for us in order to do a job. And if you're a parent here tonight and you're not saved, man, you've got three and a half strikes against you to bring up those children for good. You certainly can't bring them up for God. If you're a parent here tonight and you've never been born again because you've never realized that you're lost, I want to tell you tonight, if you've never been saved, you're lost. But the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And you need to be saved. And you can be saved tonight. And when you're saved, it will make you ready for heaven. But one of the bonuses is then you've got the Word of God to help you, to guide and bring up and nurture your children. Now, I hope tonight I haven't given the wrong impression to any. I haven't won all the battles as a parent, as a father. But brethren and sisters, I believe this book. I believe it. And by the grace of God, I'm going to cling to it for the glory of God and for the blessing of my family. And I trust for the blessing of the church family among whom we labor. Oh, may God give us wisdom, strength, and direction in bringing up our children for God. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake. Let's sing in closing 333, shall we?